so that. I think that thing's reaching against me. Get a flash. Yeah, I can't. How amazing was that presence of God tonight? Let's just bow our heads as we're going to go into this. Father God, we want to thank you, Lord, for your beautiful presence that was here tonight. I thank you that it's still here tonight. Father God, what would we do without you? We would be lost. We would be in the gutter 100% of the time. But I praise God for Jesus Christ. He has pulled our bowling ball back on track. We're on track for a strike. I want to thank you, Jesus, for that. Father God, as I share tonight, I want to pray that you guard my lips, Lord, and that our hearts receive the message that has been prepared. Ask us now in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Just had a Wellington moment here. Wellington always used to remind us when he shared at you. God is Let's try and get this thing. There we go. Is that better? There we go. Yeah. He used to tell us that God is using me while he's changing me. And I think it's just a beautiful statement to always reflect on. Especially when it comes to messages, is that sometimes you hear things and you hear the what God's got planned for people's lives, and you hear these wonderful things, and then you think, but still God can't use me. I'm not there yet. You know, I'm not 100% yet. But God is using me while he is changing me. Remember being in Bible school, there's a verse that talks about how we are being saved. And I think it was in one of the books that we were reading. It says that we have been saved. And we are saved. And we are being saved. It's a process. The price that Christ paid on the cross is in the past, it's been done. But at this present moment, he has saved me. And I thank God that he's saving me. He's walking me through this process. So what I'm going to be sharing on tonight is sort of inspired from something that got on my heart on Friday night at our prayer meeting. Stayed in the prayer meeting and felt like there was a time where we were struggling to get going a little bit. Maybe that was just me. I just felt like we were pulling a train a little bit, and it was a little bit heavy, but we were still praying. We were in that moment. So what I wanted to talk to you tonight is just about the power of prayer and reaffirm why are we doing this? Why are we getting into this sort of corporate place of prayer? How important it is for us to pray. And I almost want to encourage violent prayer, because we are not in a war with the flesh. We're in a spiritual war. And trust me, in that spiritual war, they're not going easy on us. If we look at the lives of our people in this church, that spiritual war is not an easy war. People have been going through tough times. And it's almost like we've had tough year after tough year after tough year. And it's unrelenting. And John 10:10 says, a thief has come to rob, kill, and destroy. But Jesus came to give us life and life in abundance. And prayer is that route to the abundant life. Amen. So hopefully you have your Bibles with you. Because a good soldier should not leave his sword at home. So the first point that I want to go into is found in James chapter 4 and verse 2. Always remember James is the hiding chapter for me. Pretty sure a few of you would have experienced that as well. James kind of puts us back on the straight and narrow. So the part that I want to focus on is the second part of it, but I read James chapter 4, verse 2. It says, "You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask." And I thought that's a scary thing. We do not have because we do not ask. How many times have we not found ourselves in a situation where we need God to come through for us? And I know Pastor Pat often says we do the first thing last, is we try and figure it out ourselves. We'll go talk to our friends about it. We'll complain about it. Maybe we'll complain on social media about it before we actually come to God. Sometimes we do not have because we're not asking for it. I think the thing is, think of myself when I needed something growing up. It's one of two things that can happen. I can either be grumpy that I don't have something that I need and complain about it and talk to my friends about it, maybe even complain on social media about it. But I'm pretty certain if I had to go to my dad and ask him, he would give it to me. And if he didn't give it to me straight away, he might say, "Maybe not now. Wait." But I always knew that if I needed something, I could go to my dad and he'd find a way. And I think it's very similar with our Heavenly Father. If we need provision, if we need guidance, if we need wisdom, if we need boldness, there are countless examples throughout the Scripture where people had a need, they prayed for it, and God came through. But he can't come through unless we ask. I want to go now to have God boast a little bit, if that makes sense. Let's go to Acts chapter 2. Acts 2, verse 47. "Praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who are being saved." So the portion there is, "And the Lord added daily to the church those who are being saved." Then if we can turn to Acts chapter 4, verse 4. "However, many of those who heard the word believed, and the number of men came to be about 5,000. Acts chapter 5, verse 14. "And believers were increasingly added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women." The early church experienced phenomenal growth. This is just three chapters, 2, 4, and 5. And I'm pretty certain that if you have to go through the rest of Acts, you'll find many other examples or the rapid growth of the church. Why did the church have such great success? Is it because it was just around about when Jesus had died and rose from the dead, so it's still fresh in everybody's memory? Or was it because of what had happened in the upper room? They had created such a culture of prayer amongst the men and women. They did not relent. They did not stop. They prayed until something happened. And as a result of their prayer, daily numbers were being added to the church. Daily numbers were being added to the church. I think if we go back and have a look at the rest of the Old Testament, again, there are wonderful opportunities of how prayer happened And God intervened. God made the way when it just didn't seem anyway. I mean, I think of a guy like David. David wonderfully blessed of God with this amazing gift of being able to lead worship, but also being a warrior, had to go on the run from Saul. But God preserved his life. And God helped him make the right choices at the right times. Yes, he made mistakes, but then he came to God, knelt before God, repented, and God made a way. One of my favorite scriptures regarding prayer comes to my third part, or third part of what I want to share, is we need to pray steadfastly. In James chapter 5, verse 17, we read about a human guy. James 5, 17 says, Elijah was a man just like you and I. But when he prayed, the rain stopped. And when he prayed again, it rained. That is the kind of power we can tap into when we pray. Elijah was no different from us. He was just an ordinary man. Yes, a man that had a calling from God. But all of us have a calling from God. All of us have been called. There's no longer a Jew-Gentile thing. There's a God came to save. Jesus came to save all of us. The Bible says that the same power that raised Christ from the dead lives in me. Jesus also promised that we would do greater works than what he did while he was on the earth. And if we have a look at the example of Jesus, how often do we not see early in the morning he'd go and he'd pray? No, he went for 40 days to go fast and pray. And then he was tested. Before he even hung on the cross, we have the Garden of Gethsemane experience where he went to pray. If we see from the example of Jesus himself how much he went to pray, how much more should we not be praying in that same fashion? Again, I want to go to a couple of scriptures in Acts. If we go to Acts chapter 2, verse 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. That was the success of the early church. Their steadfastness in what they were doing. They didn't just start something and let it drift away. They were kind of like bulldogs. They bit into it and they did not let go. That's what steadfastness is all about. Holding fast. I know in my own walk with the Lord, there have been times where things get tough. And you kind of don't spend as much time with God as you really need to. That's not being steadfast. How can I expect God to come through for me in my life if I'm not willing to spend the same time or spend time with Him? No, I can't be wanting God to pull off big miracles for me if I'm not willing to spend 10 minutes, 15 minutes a day with Him. That's minimal. We should really be spending more time than that. Steadfastness. Kind of sort of jumped the gun on myself. In today's world, and in the culture of the church as a whole, I almost want to say there's been a wide departure from prayer. Those of us that have been coming to the prayer meetings would know that when it started, it was a handful of people. You call a prayer meeting, and half the church, more than half the church, isn't there. And you're thinking, but we need to pray. We need to get together and stand as one. And we ask ourselves, well, why isn't God coming through? Well, are we doing our part? Are we seeking God's face? If we seek His face, surely He'll answer us. But if we do not seek His face, how can He answer us if we're not asking Him? So I want to go to maybe a little bit of a scary scripture now. In Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 59. Verse 1 and 2, and some of us will know the scripture quite well. It says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy, that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated you from God, and your sins have hidden his face from you, so that he will not hear." Have we got ourselves to a place that our sins have separated us from God, that he's not going to hear? The scripture quite clearly says that his hand is not too short. And many of us have experienced that hand coming through for us time and time again. I think we could sit here all night and tell of stories of how God has come through for us. His hand is not too short. But we must not let ourselves fall into the trap that we're not spending the time seeking his face and asking him to come through for us. Because he will. Prayer brings us closer to God. We go have a look. Psalm 139. Verses 23 and 24 says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties. And see if there is any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting." You see, when we're praying, we can ask God to help us with those areas that we're struggling with, those anxieties that we have. Then we can get rid of the wickedness within ourselves. So we can remove the plank from our own eye before we start looking at the speck in our brother's eye. If you go to Jeremiah 29:13. "And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." That's the place where I want to be. I want to know all of God. And getting to know all of God is about spending time with him. Not only studying his word, but spending more time in prayer. And I know that it's a personal challenge for me. Because I haven't been doing enough of it. And I want to do more of it. If I really want to go get to know God intimately, which I do, I need to spend time in that secret place that Pastor Pat spoke about a few weeks ago. I need to spend more time with him. Talk about a guy by the name of John, I think it's Welch. I think he's related to John Knox, but it's not John Knox. He said, "Give me Scotland or I'll die." A famous quote of his, but I thought what was more shocking is on the day that he died, he said he basically had sort of a waste of a day because he didn't spend 7 to 8 hours praying. This is how much this man prayed, that on the day that he died, he wanted to be put on record that he thought that it wasn't a productive day because he hadn't spent 7 to 8 hours praying. Now, I'm not saying that all of us need to start praying 7 or 8 hours a day. It's a full-time job. But if a man can be willing to pray 7 to 8 hours a day for his country, how much is 10, 15 minutes, half an hour a day for us who want to see a change in our country, who want to see a change in our church, who want to see a change in our own personal lives? There is power when we pray. We cannot deny it. A praying church is a powerful church. A praying church will move mountains. We will reach the heart of God. We recognize that, church. And I believe we have recognized that. But I just wanted to reaffirm it tonight. I want to say we need to go deeper in God. We need to take the kingdom by force because that's what God has been calling us to do. I'm going to go to one more scripture tonight. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. And again, this is one that a lot of us, it's a special verse to us. It says, "But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and will not faint." That is what comes from spending time in the secret place. That is what comes when we pray. So I just wanted to challenge us tonight to say, well, how much time are you spending praying? Are you spending 5 minutes? Well, let's start spending 10 minutes. If you're spending 10 minutes, let's spend half an hour, 15 minutes, 20 minutes. Not just when we get together to pray on a Sunday morning or on a Friday night. But on a Monday morning, a Tuesday morning, a Wednesday morning, whenever we find time, if we truly want to see change in our own lives, in the people we love lives, in our country's lives, in our church's lives, we need to get on our knees. We need to pray passionately. We need to pray with the same heart that Christ will be praying for us and interceding on our behalf. I know I want to see change. I know I want to pray more. I know I want to pray more violently. Spoke to the youth on Friday night after the prayer meeting. Just trying to encourage them because I want them to be praying in our prayer meeting as well. We're praying, but I don't want us just to be listening to prayers. We need to be praying them ourselves. We need to be participating. And I asked, we stood in a circle over here, and I said, well, who's the youngest one here? Because I want to show, it doesn't matter who you are, how old you are. We picked out the youngest, said, okay, start our battle tonight. We need to see ourselves as warriors. Why do we have an armor of God if we're never going to use it? Why do we have a sword if we're never going to fight someone with it? Why do we have faith if we don't have to block the fiery darts of the enemy? We have been called to a war. We need to start taking up our armor and fighting. And not let the enemy take another foot of this church. Not another soul that walks into this door should be lost ever again. And those that have walked out should be brought back in. And those that have never been here need to be brought back in. We have people in the city. We need to fight for them. If God has given us a vision, we need to fight for the vision. If we're not willing to fight for that vision, it's not going to happen. But if we are willing to stand on God's word, believe in his promises, pray for this church, we will see this church turned upside down. Then we will see the promise of the latter glory being better than the former. Amen. Amen. We bow your heads. Father God, I want to thank you, Lord, that you are the God of the impossible. You deal in miracles, Lord. You deal in signs and wonders, Lord, and you deal in love. Father God, I know I've been challenged by this. Lord, I know I need to pray more. And Father God, I believe, Lord, as a church, we can pray more. Father God, I want to pray that you put it on each of our hearts, Lord, that we start spending more time in prayer with you. And Lord, help us to build that time up, Lord. Lord, even if we're not praying, Lord, let us stop praying 5 minutes a day. But Lord, help us to increase that as the months and years go by. Father God, we truly want to know you, Lord. We want to know you intimately, Lord. We want to know you in the secret place. And Lord, it does start with spending time in your word and spending time in prayer. Father God, it is not hard to pray. Anybody can pray. But Father God, where we are unsure how to pray, give us the utterance. Help us to pray, Lord. Lord, help us to be like Paul, who was almost continuously praying in tongues. Father God, that's something that we can even do sitting at our desk at work. Father, I want to pray, Lord, that you'd really just stir up a hunger inside of us. That we will pray and become passionate about prayer. And be passionate about loving people, Lord. And be passionate about the people in the city that need to get into this church. That need saving. Father God, we can't save people in our own ability, but you can use us to save the people in this city. I want to thank for this now in the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
Thank you so much, Josh, for the message. God bless you. And by the grace of God, may they challenge us to pray, to realize the value of prayer, the need of prayer, and the object of prayer. God bless you, and use that message in our hearts. Please stay and have something, some refreshments with us and some fellowship.